Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. 41 past the hour. It's Bill Meyer here on the Faith Radio Network. Summer vacation just around the corner, but it can be a stressful time for step families. If you are part of a blended family or know somebody who is, we thought we'd get some advice on how to handle vacations and holidays from Ron Deal, the director of Family Life Blended at Dennis Rainey's Family Life Ministry. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Good. As we get ready to head into summer vacation, the living arrangements for millions of kids who are living in blended family situations may dramatically change. What's the typical scenario for kids who are living in a step family situation come summertime?
Yeah. And by the way, we're also talking to single parents. We're talking to people who perhaps are even separated in a marriage and they're just navigating through that season of life, as well as people that have remarried or in a blended family situation. So really, we're talking about an awful lot of families that are touched by this. A typical scenario, you know, it's interesting. It used to be that child visitation schedules were really solid and set. You could almost kind of predict that mom had the kids most of the time, and every other weekend dad had them. And then in the summertime, there was this what I call the six-week summer swap, where the kids go to the other home, probably dad's house, for 6 weeks. And there's still a tremendous amount of situations where that's the norm, but it's also very vastly different. I mean, a lot of judges are giving joint custody to moms and dads and really trying to give equal time. And so there's a variety of custody situations that exist, but typically in the summertime, somebody is getting the kids for an extended period of time.
Now, a lot of kids feel sad or even guilty about leaving their, let's say, their primary custodial parent's home and then going to stay with the non-custodial parent for weeks or even months during the summer. How can single parents or blended families help to make that transition easier?
Yeah, it's a good observation, Bill, because really it's a mixed bag for everybody, all right? You know, it's the bittersweet of I've been with my mom, I'm going to my dad's house for 6 weeks, can't wait to be with my dad and hang out there. Oh, but that means I have to say goodbye to my mom, right? So saying hello to someone always means saying goodbye to somebody else. And that is the same thing that the parents feel. You know, they're saying goodbye for 6 weeks or they're saying hello for 6 weeks. And so there's always kind of two sides to this, which I think is one of the tips for parents, is that if you're aware of that going on inside you, and you certainly are trying to be aware that that's going on inside your child, then do things that help them talk through that, help them wrestle with that, and certainly don't make them feel guilty even more for leaving you, right? You know, sometimes parents just kind of are, I mean, everybody, you're going to be sad. Let's say mom's listening and her kids are leaving to go to dad's for 6 weeks this summer. She's going to be sad. She needs to say goodbye. She's going to have some tears. But to go on and on and on about how she just didn't know what she's going to do and what's life going to be like without them, and okay, that's kind of heaping this emotional burden of I'm not okay without you. Your kids need you to be okay without them. They need us to be the grown-up adults. So sad, yes, but devastated, no. You need to keep that under containment. Otherwise, you just send your kids off with this incredible emotional burden of guilt, which makes it difficult for them to go and then enjoy being in the other home. They're constantly thinking and worrying about you. So, you know, that's one of those things where send them off with some happiness. Send them off with a, hey, enjoy your time over there. And even give them the blessing, let's say if you're a mom in this situation and there's a stepmom in the other home, you know, hey, enjoy your dad and enjoy your stepmom. You know, just those little words of blessing go a long way towards, as you and I have talked at other times on this broadcast, we've talked about the loyalty binds that children feel. They feel stuck between those two homes, especially if the homes are at war. Well, if you give that blessing, then it gives them permission to go and enjoy and get along and like and love. And that's a really wonderful thing.
My guest, Ron Deal, the director of Family Life Blended, and we're talking about summer vacations and blended families, single parents, navigating those two different homes. Ron, can you explain why it is such a bad idea for divorced parents to try to compete with each other when it comes to things like, you know, fun activities, treats in one home versus another?
Yeah, well, what it does is it throws the kids into the middle of a tug of war, right? Because every one of those messages to the children is our home's better than their home, which means you love us more than you love them, right? I mean, that's the implicit message. And all that does is, it's like we were talking about earlier, it shows you to be a weak person, right? It puts the child in charge of your emotional well-being. Like you're needing them to approve of you, to love you more so that you feel good about your life and how things are going. And that's backwards, right? We're the adults. We're the parents. We shouldn't put the kids in that position. That's a lose-lose for them. The win-win is love them. Have your relationship with them. Enjoy them. Have fun. You know, and if they're coming to your house, great. Go on vacation and do some fun things. But you don't have to buy their love and just go overboard. And that just creates this environment where, you know, they just get what they want. You know, and that's just catering to the child's wants, not to their needs. And so just over time, that turns things upside down.
Now, this may be an overgeneralization, but it seems like in many step families, and now I'm talking about their traditional custodial and non-custodial parent situation, let's say where, as mm-hmm. you mentioned before, you know, a kid's going to go for several weeks or months in the summertime with the other parent. In those situations, the custodial biological parent, the parent that has the child most of the time, feels as if their boundaries and their discipline gets undermined when the kids spend time with the non-custodial biological parent, where it's all gorilla cookies all the time. I mean, is that a common scenario?
Yeah, it can be. But, you know, I'm reminded of something here. There's an overarching principle that I would remind people of, and it actually comes right out of the interview you did with Dr. Diamond right before I came on this broadcast. Remember, he made the John Wooden quote, "Don't let what you can't do keep you from what you can do." Sometimes parents get really frustrated because they cannot control what goes on in the other home, the parenting style, the bedtimes, the what do they give them, well, gorilla cookies? Is that what you said? it's frustrating when you don't get to control what happens over there. And I realize that certainly there are extremes where children are exposed to things you don't want them exposed to. But generally speaking, you know, it's just they have a different style, and that can still be frustrating. Don't let that stop you from doing what you can do. Stay in touch while they're in the other home. Reach out on occasion. Don't constantly be trying to play the chess game and figure out the next move to combat or compete with what the other home is doing. Just have your relationship. Keep your influence. When they come back to your home, you'll have your rules and the way you want to do things, and the kids can adjust. I mean, that's the message here. It's amazing to me how resilient kids are, and they can figure out how to live in two different worlds. It's kind of like when I go from the United States over to Africa and do mission work every year, there's a big cultural shift. There's a whole lot of changes in the government and the language and the money system. But I can figure it out, you know, and every time I do that, it gets easier and easier and easier. Kids are the same way. They'll figure it out. Just manage what you can control.
Ron, I know we have a lot of grandparents listening who have grandkids in stepfamily situations. Mm-hmm. You have any specific advice for them when it comes to things like vacations and holidays?
Yeah, again, they can do the very same things we've talked about. They give kids permission to enjoy the other home when they're gone. They can articulate, we're going to miss you, but we'll stay in touch. And you can, by the way, try to use technology. That's what the kids are using, you know, use text and phone and FaceTime and different things like that to kind of stay in touch with them while they're away. And I think that's good and supportive. When you offer a kind word about the other home and the people in the other home, again, that's helpful. All of those things just kind of extend your relationship with them as they go to the other home, whatever that looks like and whatever's involved with that. Don't underestimate the power of a little touch, a text message during the day. I mean, that that just keeps you connected in some very simple ways that are meaningful to children. And by the way, I think they're more meaningful to children and millennials than they are to us who are older. We don't always feel like that's a touch, but to them, that's a touch. And so keep in touch.
Great advice. And whatever you do, Grandma and Grandpa, don't be dissing the other parent in the other home, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, that's not helpful. I worked with one situation where I'm thinking that in one step family, things were going really, really well. But the biggest barrier to the, in this case, a stepmom having a good relationship with her stepchildren was the grandparents who were bad mouthing. Right. Mm. And what they were doing was they were kind of protecting their daughter. So it was the biological mom's parents. So they were working to try to protect their daughter's relationship with the grandkids. And so they were bad mouthing the stepmom, their new daughter-in-law. And they just absolutely, you know, created all sorts of havoc. That's not helpful. You know, have an open heart. Try to figure out ways of letting the children out of that tug of war. That's a real blessing for them.
Mm. Ron Deal has a great article on the Family Life website with guidelines for both sending your kids off to the other parent's home and for receiving the child into your own home. Ron, thanks so much for your time today, and may God continue to guide you and direct you and use you in your work at Family Life.
God bless, Bill.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.